We thank you. You are here this morning. Again, there is more place in case somebody come late. I just want to, before we look upon the scripture, inform you that our church bulletin is designed so that you have information. We have a missionary letter from Martha Ferretti. You have the news of our church and the activities of the week. And then you have an outline of the sermon. Hopefully, I go through that outline properly, and you can follow me. And the outline has the Bible page number in most of the cases. The month of December, I have chose for our church to always dedicate every Sunday of the month of December for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that we don't talk about Jesus the rest of the year. It is that we put the emphasis in every sermon in the morning service. And this year we have the evening service with revelations of Jesus morning and evening all the time. And each time I do that, I learn something more about Jesus, and I want you to learn it. So on the first Sunday, we have the Lord's Supper, and we learn about redemption. Redemption, the lamb of the Jewish lamb, which was properly offered according to Leviticus chapter 1, the Jewish lamb, where the people have to put their hands on the lamb, is reflected in the words of John the Baptist. Remember, behold, the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. And John 3:16, as you believe in the Lord Jesus, is just the same image of the Jewish celebration. The Jewish people had to put their hands on the lamb, and their head was slain. And now we put our faith in the Lord Jesus, who has been slain for us. On the second sermon, and we talked last Sunday about God's answer to the question, who is Jesus? And we have learned remarkable things about that. Jesus is God, he's the creator, and he's the author of life. And I appreciated those who just called before the service. And I want to tell you, all the sermons are available to you, no charge for the CDs. We do not produce tapes anymore. We produce CDs, and the sermons are inside the whole package with the whole service. But you can call the church office, or you can send a letter to our P.O. Box 100 in Morning Hill, and we will send you, regardless where you live, free of charge to you. Now, today, I'd like to speak to you on God's final word to mankind. God's final word to mankind. So you do well if you turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews in chapter 1. The reading has been done by our brother, verses 1 to 4. And I want to go over those verses with you and learn something very, very important that will again emphasize the principle that we need to talk about Jesus, or otherwise we have no Christmas at all. Hebrews chapter 1. I want to talk to you in celebration of Christmas under this thought, God's final word to mankind. As I read verse 1, you learn that God spoke in past time by the prophets. Let me show it to you. Verse 1, God, who at various times, of sundry times, or in many ways in the past, and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet. The fathers, you know, in the Bible involve Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. When you talk to a Jewish person and you said, your fathers, the Jewish person understands, you're not talking about his blood-related father. When you say to a Jewish person, your fathers, you said these three people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because from there is spread the Jewish nation, and that is the fathers. If you want to have fathers, these they are the Bible fathers. David always said, my fathers, and doesn't refer to his father Jesse, refers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so it spoke by the prophets. I don't have 12 hours here, like I do in the Spanish conference when I went to Nicaragua and someplace. They said, well, we are here for 12 hours. And if I say something like this, then I had to go through the entire Old Testament with them. They have a bottle of coffee like this on both sides of the pulpit. And I go 12 hours of speaking. One time we did it in our church, 6 hours without stop, on the Ten Commandments. I don't know if you're excited about the Bible, but I am. It's just a revelation to mankind that God really loves you deeply, deeply. Well, what does God say to the prophets, all right? Let's see some prophets, what they say. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Deuteronomy, chapter 18 in your Bible, and verse 15. God is spoke in a past time by the prophets, all right? What did God say to our fathers then? Look at Deuteronomy. The word Deuteronomy, theo means two. Nomos means law. So it's a Greek word that the Catholic Church assigned to the fifth book of Moses. It's in the real Bible, the title. And the second time, the law. And so Moses has the opportunity to relate to the Jewish people. And rather than pointing to himself as a great leader who have led Israel out of captivity in the land of Goshen, all through the desert 40 years, and now he's across the Holy Land on the Jordan River, like my grandma from Ramallah will say, he was in the good soil, she said, she was in Arabia. And he said these words in verse 15, the Lord your God, Jehovah should be, Jehovah your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. So we know that Moses was a prophet then. A prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. And I want to take the liberty to go with you to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. And just to confirm that Moses was correct. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1. In verse 1, when the Bible starts talking about Jesus, this is the birth certificate of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 is the birth certificate of the Lord Jesus. Here is with this accountant who will not miss a word. He said, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. And so out of the race, out of the Jewish race, said Moses, God will raise a Messiah. No wonder when you read the book of Daniel in chapter 9, verse 24, 25, they say, a Messiah will come, said Daniel. A Messiah will come. Now, why they say that? Because they know that the prophecy in the Bible says that out of the Jewish race, a Messiah will come. Is no God discriminating one race upon the other. God said, out of this race, which God said was the worst of all the races, he said in Deuteronomy, so that my name will be exalted. Out of that race, God will bring the Messiah. That's what God said. Now, you want to go to Isaiah, I'm very sure. And the Bible said that God has spoken in the past by the prophet. You want to go to Isaiah chapter 1, all right? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, verify that God is spoke by the prophets. Isaiah explained how did he get the word from the Lord by the methodology of vision. He said the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And so Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, brings to your mind that Isaiah received the word of the Lord. More of that, Isaiah wrote about his conversion. Amazing. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 6. You're in chapter 1. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah wrote about his own conversion, how that he became a believer. Isaiah was, as you know, a lawyer in the house of those kings that he mentioned. He was one of the highest class intellectual people of his time, like the Apostle Paul. And Isaiah was a failure, according to the media today, because no one person was interested in God in the entire 30 years of his ministry. No one person became a believer because of him. So much that three times Isaiah, I give up. And God said, Isaiah, your job is not to produce believers. Your job is to speak. And I judge the people. When they rejected you, they rejected me. And so I took seriously the book of Isaiah in my life, long time ago, about 20 years ago. And Brother Casagna, as a matter of fact, shared it with me. And Brother McCormick shared it with me. And a breakfast. He said, Pastor, don't get discouraged. Not too many people come. Your job is to teach us the Bible. See, I always look for people older than me to get advice. And I got the benefit. I grew up with grandparents. That's why I respect people older than me. I'm not too old now. I'm 74 almost. But I tell you, I look forward to people who have lived ahead of me and can teach me. And that's what I have a great teacher. He was 80 years old when he taught me how to be a pastor, and he really was a man of God. Now look at Isaiah's conversion, chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. I saw the Lord. You know, that's what takes a conversion. It's not to become a Baptist or to become a Catholic or to become this or become the other, this denomination or the other. The Holy Spirit has to show you the Lord. And look at what happened when he saw the Lord. He said, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it, verse 2, stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isn't that great? God is holy. There's no messing around with God. Look at verse 4. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, look at what Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. When you really see God, you stop all the arguments of your life. You no longer said, wow, that's me. I'm a doctor, or I'm an engineer, or I am a great sportman, or I never did anything wrong. You know, all these arguments that the people have is because they have not seen God yet. But when you see God, you see that you're undone. Woe is for me, verse 5 said, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. I dwell in a society, high-level society, King Uzziah. I live in a society that's all gone. It's almost like tomorrow's newspaper. And look at, for my eye has seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You read the Bible and you read it. Don't worry about when you're going to see God. You just read it. And one day you see yourself. Don't judge anybody, whether he is straight or gay. Somebody asked me in the street the other day, if there is gay people in your church, how do I know? So you don't check them out? How do I know? You think I have a medical office in the back and checking people? Well, how do I know? Just like get nude in front of the mirror and you know who you are. It's simple like that. But you get nude in your heart before the Lord, and then you know who you are. There are people who are liars. There are people who are cheaters. There are people who are all kinds of things, not only gay people. It's amazing. And Isaiah was a nice guy, but he said, I'm a man. See, you need to compare yourself with the Lord. And look at what he says, verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this is has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Fire is a symbol of judgment in the Bible. And that seraphim was saying to Isaiah, God has judged himself and he passed the cleanness to you. Verse 8 said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Now he saw the Lord. Now he has the forgiveness of God. Now he has the Spirit of God in himself. And he said, go and tell these people, keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of these people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes lest they see in their eyes. And then verse 11 said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are waste. You keep on preaching until I come back and I take over the world. What did he preach? You know it. You go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And you know what he preached. Isaiah chapter 53. Look at what he said. I just glance. Verse 6, look at what he says. Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. All of us. Now Isaiah was not like this before. Isaiah was the elite of the select house of the king. And he feel good. He said, all of us. And those people who wear suits and nice hats, and those people has an overcoat, and those people have working clothing. We all have gone astray. All have done wrong. Wow. He doesn't select one sin against the other. He said, we all have gone. Verse 7, he was oppressed, talking about Jesus, and he was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent, he opened not his mouth. Look at verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet, verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. What is he saying? He's saying, Israel, the Messiah is going to come. He's not going to be a king on the earth with all the paraphernalia of kingdoms and presidents and so on. He's going to be a humble person. He's going to give us his life, and God is going to be pleased. That's what you need to look forward. The Bible says, God has spoken time past by the prophet. What about prophet Joel? What did he say? Let's turn to Joel. Look at what he says. Prophet Joel. Look at the emphasis on prophet Joel, what he says. Chapter 1, verse 1 in Joel. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Petuel. Now, chapter 1, verse 15. It's not his words, it's the word of the Lord. Like verse 15. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Whoop. He overpassed the entire nation of Israel, the entire history of Israel, and he's looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Wow. Look at in chapter 2, please, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. And it's talking about the birth of our Lord Jesus. It's at hand, he said. Wow. It's just absolutely amazing. Look at in verse chapter 2, verse 31. The sun shall be darkened into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day. Now he's talking about the last coming of the Lord. He's talking about the beginning of the Lord as he is born, and then he's talking about the last coming of the Lord as we study in Revelation and the evening service. The whole earth will change its physiology. It's going to remove everything and the physics that you know is going to be gone, and God's going to take over. So the prophets in the Bible, when you read the Old Testament, you don't read the history of Israel. You read about Jesus. When you read the Old Testament, you read about how God is going to bring the freedom and the liberty and a life of stability, a life of joy, a life of common sense to your life by revealing to you through the Spirit of God, Jesus. He is God. Wow. Some people only carry a New Testament. You miss it. You miss it. So in the past, before Jesus was born, God spoke. In the present, look at going to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 said, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. In last day has spoken by his Son. Now, what is the last days? From the cross to the coming of the Lord in the Bible is called the last days. 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to the cross and resurrected. And now he's coming again. So in the Bible, when you read the last days, it's talking about from that cross to the coming of the Lord. And he spoke by his Son. Well, let's see it. In Galatians chapter 4, in verse 4, he tells us then the birth of his Son. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says in Galatians 4 and in verse 4, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent for his Son, born of a woman and born of the law. What Galatians is saying is when God has a calendar, no man. Now, the Mexicans are waiting for the end of the earth on 2012. We know it's a failure, not because they are Mexicans. We know it's a failure because the Bible doesn't say that the end will end in 2012. If the Bible say it, then the Mexicans are right. But they are not, even though Leo is upset, but it's okay. That's the way it is. So here is what God is saying. I have a calendar. And if you saw there in Galatians how precious it is, look at what he says. It's very simple. I have a calendar. And when the fullness of time, when that day, God sent his Son to do what? Verse 5. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of Son. And because you are sons, God has sent for the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Oh, Daddy. See, nobody can cry God unless you have the Spirit of God within you. The Spirit of God don't let you do evil. The Spirit of God will move you to worship God. The Spirit of God will move you to give. The Spirit of God will move you to love. Without the Spirit of God, you are dead. Oh, may God bless you that you believe. So Galatians talks about the coming of Jesus. And look at Matthew's. We have Christ, the last words, the beginning of the gospel, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Look at what the Bible says about Jesus when we start preaching. Look at what he says. When Jesus just began to preach, he was 30 years or 30 years and a half, and he began to preach. I wonder what were the words that came out of the lips of Jesus. Look at what he says in verse 17, Matthew 4. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is not welcome. What did he say? It's at hand. I'm the king. Remember, he's old Pilate. He said, you say it, Pilate. For that purpose, I came. He is the king. And so when Jesus started the ministry, he told the truth. I'm the key. No man has the key. No man is the center focus of Christianity. Jesus is. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what the New Testament said. And if you are in Matthew, go to chapter 11. He is the provision for mankind. Chapter 11 of the Gospel of Matthew. And look with me, verses 2 to 6. Look at what the Bible said. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. This is John the Baptist. He is in jail, and he has a right. See, everybody thought Jesus was going to be a general in chief, and he's going to liberate us. And John ended up in jail because he told the truth to a man. You cannot sleep with your wife's sister. That's evil. Jail. I wonder when that come to America, when they're going to tell me you cannot talk about Jesus. And so he's in jail. And so I don't blame John the Baptist. His question. He said, I wonder if we follow the right person. Look at verse 2. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said, verse 3, are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? See, the Jewish people know, even today, they know the Messiah should come. They have the wrong figure of the Messiah today, but they know. They have that advantage over us. The Gentiles, we look to no Messiah. In America, we look to make money and have riches and cars and houses and women and all of this junk. Women are not junk, but I mean, all be careful, yeah, be careful. Sometimes you speak without notes in it. But I want to say, you know, women for the wrong motive is bad. Women to use for the wrong motive is bad. And this is, he said, do we look for another or what? What's going on? And look at what Jesus said. Verse 4. He said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. In other words, blessed is the person who really appeased and believing in him. So he's saying to John, now remember the Old Testament? When the Messiah will come, he will produce these miracles, overrule science, overrule the natural laws. And remember the law of gravity. If I tell you go to a building and jump, you will fly. You say you're crazy. Why? Because you learn in grammar school the law of gravity. You fall at 9 meters, 0.89 meter over second over a square, as fast you come down because it's a low gravity. And you read in Matthew 14, Jesus walking on the water. Can you put it two and two together? So Jesus is saying, John, this is happening. And John died in peace. He knew he appointed the right person. So in the past, God spoke by the prophets. In the present, he speaks by Jesus. And in the future, from Jesus' death on, how did God speak to us? He speaks to us by the work of Christ. Not too long ago, Leo and I go out of McDonald's, and a man came running to me. Father, 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 I need you. He went inside. He says, is the Father here? So he's just going to his car. Now, some people are religious, and they cannot distinguish between a pastor and a father. I don't make any deal on it. I say, yes, I'm the father. I have one daughter. I'm a father. He said, I have some questions, he said. And we talk about it. Then I explained to him, you know, I know a priest that can absolve your sins. He wants to confess something. Something wrong he did to his wife. And so he wanted to tell me. Like he won forgiveness from a man. I said, you know, I want to send you to the high priest. To the Pope? He got it right. He got it right. The high priest is the Pope. You send it to the high priest? Yeah. But this Pope lives right here. In Moore Hill? Right here in Moore Hill. You know him? For years. Well, he was so excited. Said, go to your car and get your Bible. And he got his Bible. Let me show you the Pope. Hebrews chapter 4. Look. Jesus is speaking in the future by his works. What is the work of Jesus? Number one, he's the high priest. Verse 14. Seeing then, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. We learn in Spanish today three Greek words in the class. And we took about 30 minutes. We have about 5 different translations. And we learned the words and the letters and the word great. The supreme. The supreme. I can see the eyes of the Spanish people that were there babbling, happy. You know, he said, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. You got the name on it? Jesus, the Son of God. That's the high priest. It's not an Italian or a Poland or anybody else. It's Jesus, the Son of God. He's the high priest. And I said to this man, right now, kneel down and ask him forgiveness for your sin. And he was trembling. And he asked and he left. And he said, oh, I met him. I met him. That happened at 6:30 in the morning sometimes and 7 o'clock. That's why I'm excited. I'm going to the street and I had to show the high priest. The high priest. Look at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. Why? Because he lived 30 years on this world. He knew about discrimination. He knew about people, you do the job and don't pay you. He was a carpenter. He knew about the miseries of this life. He knew about the things that you and I go through. He is a high priest. So Jesus speak today. The works of Jesus speak. He's a high priest. If you need a confession, if you need to level with God, you go to the high priest. Why? Because in the Old Testament, in the Jewish law, you cannot pray to God directly. You have to go to the high priest. And once a year, the high priest brings the sins into the tabernacle. But now, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And you can call 911, it's me. Give your social security number and pray. Christ is the last intercessor. I was asking the Spanish class this question. Why we do not pray to a virgin? The Virgin of Guadalupe. Poor Mary. She has about 20 names in the Catholic Church. Why? And why do you want to pray to a virgin? You have to respect the person who asked the question with honesty and because have no knowledge of anything else. You have to respect it. I'm sympathized. I'm really bleeding inside how to communicate this. I said, what do you want to do with the Virgin of Guadalupe? So I want to tell her about my husband. So I have a better one for you. Go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Here is what God has established to tell about you. Don't talk about your husband. Just talk about you. Romans 8 and verse 34. Here is the next word. Jesus, the high priest. And as a high priest, here is his work. Verse 34. Who is he who condemned? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also, what he does? Make intercession for us. Don't go to any statue. Don't go to anything, whatever they call it. Don't go to anything. Go to the one who is at the right hand of God. And he listened to you. Don't talk about somebody else. Talk about yourself. Tell him, Lord, it's me. I'm frustrated. And God says, I know that. And Lord, is the I know that. And little by little, you get the peace of God in your heart when you pray. I pray alone in my office. I never forgot when we had the office in Gilroy. Brother Cassandian and his office building built a little office for the church. We had no building, but we have an office. And I used to pray on Monday. I look in the offering, I look in this, whatever need I have. And I wrongly pray, as said. I forgot that the door was open. Dr. McCormick just came in to take me to lunch. And I said, Lord, Dr. McCormick was here and the offering is low. What's wrong with him? He said, nothing wrong. He said, just amazing. I was shocked. I don't think I ate lunch that day. I give you how feeble we are, don't we? We all feeble. I'm not superior to you. I'm just like you. We get desperate. We get the need. We get the daughter sick. We get a father sick, a mother. We get something. And we get a panic. And God knows. God knows. But in a statue, read Jeremiah 10 and you will tell. All right? Christ is the intercessor. And somebody asked me. I'm learning by questions as I mingle my life with people. And they asked me, said, do you have a mass? A mass? I said, no. He said, well, how do you say Christ need to die for people? How do people get saved? Well, Christ need to die. The Messiah, the word Christ is the English word for the Hebrew word Messiah. The Messiah need to die in order to save you. So, well, how do you give it to them? Me? He said, yeah, Christ died on the mass. And when that mass was done, 2,000 years ago? He said, no, you don't understand. You're Latin. You don't understand. That's nice. They put me down, and they're trying to teach me what they know. I said, do you want me to tell you what I know about the mass? Yes. Well, Hebrews chapter 10. Look at here. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. I tell you how many times Christ died. Look at it. But that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. That's why when we have the Lord's Supper and you take part of the bread, I cannot tell you this is the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is in heaven with the Father, a heavenly body, a heavenly body. And I feel sorry for these people who yet have not been informed in the scripture. In the Spanish class, we discussed this, and they said, we have never read the Bible. And there are some people who, in America, they are so busy to watch a football game, so busy to watch a baseball crazy game. I don't understand it, you know. I thought that with a bat, you have to hit the guy who is sitting at the beginning. Those games in America, that doesn't make sense. But it's okay. It's your games, all right? Last night was a great game in Europe. Argentina lost, but oh boy. That's a game. But you know what I mean? This is not a game. We don't play with the body of Christ like a tradition. We follow the scripture. And how the work of Christ preached today, preached it 2,000 years ago. He gave us his life once for all. What a remarkable and wonderful last word of God. God's final word for mankind is this. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And now he'll keep telling me, you cannot say blessed Christmas. I said, I want to bring a speaker here. And I want to greet the people as they come out. Blessed Christmas. Blessed Christmas. You know, American, remember, Jesus is the answer. Without Jesus, there is no Christmas. Yes, I agree. So, what is God's final word for mankind? I give you Jesus. What are you waiting for? Some people say, oh, next year maybe. In Spanish, next year is a big deal. Actually, the festivity of the next year is greater than the festivity of Christmas. In Spanish, the festivity of Christmas is a religious ceremony where everybody goes to church, doesn't know what it is, get out of the church, and doesn't know it, still doesn't know what it is. But boy, New Year, for Spanish people, oh, next year I'm going to make money, next year I'm going to have a house, next year I'm going to get married, next year, the aspiration of the future is on the New Year. And if you want to have a great New Year, you have to have Jesus. What are you waiting for? If you turn your Bible to Hebrews 3 and verse 15, there is a warning. Hebrews 3 and verse 15. The writer of the book of Hebrews places a warning about his readers. And look at what he says. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. If today God spoke to you that you have no Jesus, today do not harden your heart. Do not say no to Jesus and put him away as in the day when Israel rebelled. And I want to tell you, 6 million Jews passed away. Some people say, oh, Hitler killed so many. I said, God killed more of them.
Really?
Yeah, 6 million of them. Because they believe not. My friend, this is not tradition. This is not religion. This is reality. Either you have Jesus or you have nothing. There is no other word that you need to hear. Because this is the last words of God. Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord of glory. It is with the very inadequate words that we seek to set forth the amazing wonder that He, the God of glory, should give Himself to come and take the place of a helpless child and become a man that He might die for us to set us free and make purification for sins. We thank you for it. We pray that we will never forget it, that we are redeemed creatures, that we have no value in ourselves, but in the one who loved us and who gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
So brightly shining, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul
stand, please. I admire the gift of music that God has bestowed upon our congregation. Just lift my heart and make me closer to our mighty God. Father, we thank you this morning that we talk about those final words of yours to mankind. Just simple, Jesus. That's the person that people reject. That's the person that government reject. By nature, we refuse to have Jesus. My prayer is that you will overcome, and by the Spirit of the mighty God, you will touch our life. That the Holy Spirit will come into our life, and we will see Jesus as really is the Holy of the Father, and that we become like him. May this Christmas be very special to us by the touch of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.